There we go. The floor is yours, Dee. Thanks very much.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Yeah. Hi, everybody. I am Dee. I'm an alcoholic. And hi, Jan. And thank you so much for inviting me to speak. I'm glad I'm among friends. it's been, I don't know. I just had another birthday, so I'm old. And it's been a long time, so I never know what part of the story is going to come out. And okay, and also welcome, Tom. Love newcomers and hope that you like it here. I started out in traditional AA. Well, actually, I started out in Al-Anon because I was married to someone whose problem was a lot bigger than mine, and I thought he was the one with the problem. And I really didn't want us to quit drinking, or even him to quit drinking. I just wanted it to go smoothly. And the thought of completely just stopping, you've got to be kidding me, because drinking had been my solution. I was kind of a quiet person, really isolated at home. My family that I came from was not the loud, crazy, fighting, drunken kind. There wasn't any overt drinking going on. I don't know if there may have been some. My family didn't talk about things a lot. And I went through trying to figure out all the whys and everything. And well, by the time I got into recovery, they said, quit worrying about that. Let's start where we are now. And, when I discovered drinking, I had, like many people I've heard say, didn't feel like I fit in. I was always struggling to fit in. There were pushy people, bullying people. I had friends, but I didn't feel comfortable. And when I took a drink with some people, I was invited to a party, and I went. And, when I took a drink, and I had never liked orange juice until that time. I couldn't drink it in the mornings. I would taste it all day long. I couldn't drink it at night, trying to be healthy, because then it would bother me at night and keep me awake. But I had it mixed with vodka, and from that point on, I loved orange juice and anything with it. because I took that drink and all of those barriers seemed to just melt away. I felt comfortable. I felt funny. I was relaxed. I felt like I had friends and people liked me. So people had told me, and my family had said, oh, drinking is awful. It's horrible. Don't ever do that. Because I'm pretty sure there had been some in the family. As I said, my family didn't talk about things, but I took a drink and I went, those people lied to me. This stuff is great. And it was pretty much my best friend for a long time, until it quit working. But I got started out in Al-Anon, and like I said, my husband's problems were a lot worse than mine. And I thought he was the one with the problem, and it took me a while to figure out that his problem was his problem and mine was mine. But at any rate, when I got into AA, so I became acquainted with some of the recovery, and for quite a while I was able to set aside the drinking. And because I was in recovery, because some of those principles just kind of seemed to work. And a lot of it, I think, had to do with the people I was hanging out with, sober alcoholics. But I went back to it for a period of time, and it dawned on me by that time I had kids, and they were very young, and my husband and I were about to split up. And it finally hit me that if we did, what was I going to do? And I had some friends down the street who offered me a drink, and I went, ah. And But after a short period of time, it dawned on me that I couldn't do that to myself. I couldn't do that to my kids. All those memories of what it had been like and how it affected me, which was how it was affecting me now, came just barreling in on me. And I thought, I can't live that way, because after just a little bit of drinking, it was all I thought about. And I wanted that relief. I wanted that relief. But that didn't last very long. And I got into AA and in traditional AA, which is where I started out. And I'm really grateful for the people that I met there. They were happy and they were sober. And that was inconceivable to me, because drinking had been the fun. It had been the sparkle in my life. It was my relief. And so I almost couldn't believe it. I thought I was in the wrong room, because they were happy and they were sober. And because if I wasn't drinking, I felt uncomfortable. I felt very uncomfortable. And what else do you do but drink? I wanted to reach for a drink, because that's what made me feel better. And there were some people there who got very preachy and said, by golly, it's got to be this way, and pushed the God thing. Well, I didn't have a problem with the God word. I had been to churches, but you know what? That hadn't worked to help my life. It hadn't really worked to make me feel better. It hadn't really worked to help me stop drinking, because I experimented with some of that at the time, and I'd researched several of them. And I always found very pushy, obnoxious people who didn't understand, who said, it's by golly got to be done this way. So I'm really, really grateful that there were a lot of people in traditional AA who did not take that stance. And they would say, you don't have to listen to that old guy, he's full of himself. Or you can take a look at what you believe, whatever that is, but quit trying to figure everything out, because that'll make you crazy. So I set that aside. I set aside the whole God thing, and they said, do you think this is working for us? And I said, well, yeah, that's obvious. And someone said, do you think this, whatever this is, can work for you? Well, it took me a long time to answer that question, that something could actually work well in my life. But they said, come along with us, hang out with us, take a few simple suggestions. And as far as the first three steps, I had realized it was a problem that when I drank, I had no control over it, so I was powerless over it. Once I drank anything, once I picked up a drink, I hadn't, I could take, I had experienced that I could take two drinks and go, oh, look, I can leave with just two drinks. I'd leave the bar. I'd head towards home. I might get as far as the door, and I'd be so busy patting myself on the back for just having two that I'd go back in to celebrate. And then there's no telling where it would end up. So I could quit, but sometimes it was just for a matter of 10 minutes. And sometimes it was for the matter of, a day or two, or maybe even a week. And then I'd go, what else do you do? I'd think, I want to get my life on track. And I'd have all these thoughts about what I needed to do to get my life on track, but I had no idea how to get there. Not really, because then I'd get really uncomfortable, and I'd just like, the next thing I knew, I'd be out drinking. So it wasn't working very well. And the results that I got were not good, because it would not, I could not make it do for me what it used to do. And I tried to control that. It was like trying to stand on a beach ball made out of jello. It was just wiggly, and I wanted to keep in that good spot, and I couldn't do it. It would like, I would take that first sip and go, ah, and then it was downhill from there, and I didn't like that. So I finally became okay with the idea of total abstinence, just don't drink and it will get better, they said. If you go back out there and drink, it's only going to get worse. Well, I had seen that. I kept seeing that. And they said, it's going to be tough, but just, hang with us. Use that phone, go to get to meetings, talk to people. And like one lady told me, anything you read in that literature is going to be better than what's going on in your head. Because I would call her wanting the answer to this problem or that problem because I wanted that immediate relief. And she'd say, just read anywhere. It's going to be better than what's going on in your mind. And it was. And there were times I remember sitting, watching the hands on the clock go around 3 minutes. And if it hadn't passed, I would wait another 3 minutes, sometimes hanging on to the chair. And the hardest parts were at the end of the day. And I'd made it through the day, and I'd think most of it, and I'd think, is this all there is? Is this all there is? And basically all I had to do was get the kids ready for bed, and I thought, and get up and do the same thing again tomorrow? God, and those were the hardest parts, but I would sometimes go down the whole phone list. And everybody I called, small towns, not that many people, but everybody I called would be busy or cooking dinner or with their family and wouldn't have time to talk. And I'd go down the phone list again. But by the time sometimes I'd find somebody to visit with for a while. But by the time I got through that phone list twice, the urge would have passed and I would be tired. And I would be willing to let it go and go to bed and get up and do it again. And by that time, I was tired enough that it was kind of a relief to go to bed. So I began to learn that yes, it would pass. It might be difficult, but it would eventually pass because that feeling was always, it's not going to end. This is how it feels, and absolutely nothing is going to make me feel better but taking a drink. But then that's going to be awful eventually. But that good feeling would overpower the rest of it. But learning that it would pass was a big help to me. So I was really grateful that there were a lot of people in the program, in the recovery groups that would say more practical things like, they say, well, you admitted you have a problem with it. You can't control the alcohol. Yeah. And you think something's working for us. Yeah. They said, well, are you willing to start on step four? And I said, yeah. And they said, that's it. You've done the first three steps. Let's start on step four. Let's take a look at what's going on and clear off the major part of it. And I wanted to get a notebook. I wanted to do the steps, answer all the questions correctly, list the correct things. I wanted to get an A plus on my project. I wanted to get through this, by golly, learn this, and not have any problems anymore. Not have an urge to drink, be able to get my life in order, repair all those relationships, be back in everyone's good graces, including my own. And they just laughed at me and they said, you didn't get here overnight. It's going to take some time. And people told me it's a lifetime process. This is just learning how to live and then you start applying it to your daily life and you continue doing this. And that didn't make any sense to me. I just wanted an A. I wanted to move on. But, because I had this magical thinking that something would happen and it would change. I would see the light and then everything would be okay. I would be okay and I would feel like normal people. And I discovered looking around, people looked like they had it all together. People looked like they had great lives. Eventually, I found out that was comparing my insides to other people's outsides, and that other people had all kinds of things going on in their lives, And sometimes once I got to know them, I would not have traded places with those people for the world. And people said things like, I wanted to be normal. And they said, normal's just a sitting on the washing machine. It's not a real thing. I began to find out that what I wanted was healthy, not normal. And I wanted something healthier than what I had. And from that, I began to put together, what is it I want to turn my life over to? And it's a better way of thinking than what I had. I wanted to turn it over to things that I had found or that other people had found that worked. I wanted just a better way of life. So that made sense to me. I had trouble finding female sponsors. They said, the men stick with the men and the women stick with the women. Well, things seem to have changed a little bit. And there's all kinds of reasons for it not to always be that way. And but I had trouble finding a female sponsor because a lot of the women that I would ask told me things like, well, I've never actually worked the steps. Or, why don't you just go home and, be a good little wife and take care of your kids and your family and maybe go to a meeting once a month. Well, that didn't work for me. One woman gave me some, and one woman said, oh, yes, I'll be your sponsor. And then that's the last time I heard from her. She didn't answer her phone. I didn't see her anymore. I found a good one time and then we moved. I found a good one time and then she moved. But I really had trouble connecting with the women. And I'd had problems with my own mom. So I can kind of see how part of that was me because I didn't do a lot of the little girly things because I had trouble connecting with women because of my relationship with my mom. So most definitely the controlling ones that wanted to micromanage my life and say, you need to do this and you need to do this and let me just tell you what to do and oh, you've got it all wrong. Well, I didn't relate to that well at all. But one woman said, well, yes, I will be, but don't call me every day. She said, if you run into any major trouble, give me a phone call. And call me maybe once a month or so. But in the meantime, go to every meeting you can go to. Listen to what's said at that meeting and anything you hear that might help you the least little bit, you hang on to it and you use it. Anything you hear that makes you feel awful and that doesn't work, throw it back. She said, listen to these old guys, the ones that have been around for a long time, whether they're male or female, and listen to everything they say and eavesdrop when they're talking to their sponsees after the meeting. Listen in on conversations and take what they say. That will be of benefit to you. Read everything you can get your hands on and just keep coming back and then call me if you really need me. And I took that and it still serves me well today. I go to meetings and I listen for what might be of help to me. I listen for things that go ding, oh, that makes sense, or oh, that unties a knot in my heart. And when I hear a bunch of malarkey that doesn't sit well with me, I might need it later, like someone said, but if it's sitting that way with me right now, it's not going to help me right now. So throw it back and do that. Take what you like and leave the rest. And, I know one old guy said, he said, don't read that Bible. He said, do you know they take those away from prisoners that are going to be in prison for a long time? You don't need to read that. You can go back and read it if you want to after about a year or so. But don't read it because it makes people suicidal. Just don't read it. Because I wanted to figure everything out. And gradually I learned that it's not so much with my head as it is with my heart. I stuck close to and I listened to and tried to talk with those people that had a sense of peace about them, those people who were happy and solidly happy, people who had been through tough things and came through them without drinking, people who had good relationships a lot with other people. In other words, people who had something that I wanted. If I was listening to somebody and my heart just went, ah, this feels good, I listened to that. And if something made me all frantic and, it might be something I needed to take a look at, but that might not be what I wanted right then. So there you go. I moved several times, changed sponsors several times. I was lucky enough one time after my husband and I did break up that someone I had drank with when I was in college moved back to town for 4 months, and she was in AA. And she was my sponsor for those 4 months. And we went through all the steps and we did an inventory on my marriage and my relationship with my family. Because when I left my ex, his family and mine all turned against me, even though they knew there were really good reasons for me leaving. My mom told me to go back and take what I had coming to me. You made your bed, now lie in it. Told me it was all my fault, that if I had managed him correctly, he would have stepped up to the plate and been a good husband, that I'd always been hard to get along with, and that I deserved it. So I'm really grateful for her because she had a good handle on things. And it began to help me see that sometimes those amends were setting boundaries. I feel like I'm way off the subject here somewhat. Those things, one is it look for the similarities and not the differences, and I still do that when I go into any kind of meeting today. I can argue and I can complain about things because I know at first I was the queen of yes, but. Yes, but this. Yes, but I've tried that. Yes, but this. Yes, but. And then until one lady said to me, she and I were talking, and she made several suggestions about a situation. And every suggestion she made, and it was true, I said, well, I've tried that. And, well, I've been doing that. And after about five or six of those, she said, well, if there's no solution, then there's no problem. And she walked off and left me standing there. And I went, but. But it made me realize that what the way I was approaching things at that time wasn't working. But the thing was mainly was that hanging around a group of sober people who had a better way of life in mind than the way I had been living, even though drinking had been my best friend for a long time, even though I couldn't imagine having a happy life or having fun could possibly ever be that way in my life without drinking. I thought I was stuck with a life of, oh, I'll just get through it, or oh, I will soldier on. Made me believe and finally began to catch on to me that, yeah, I can enjoy my life. There's a line in the big book that says we absolutely insist on enjoying life, and that was pointed out to me. There was another one in one of the stories that I was sent to accidentally that said, I had to be open to something good happening. That's paraphrase. It's not exactly what it says, but was talking about that grim aspect of life and how things seemed to be, that this lady had learned that she had to be open to something good happening, that finally began to crack that shell in my brain that had all the good stuff locked out because of fear. and that, yeah, it could be okay. We did things like we had bonfire meetings. We went to the river. We did float trips. I also went to NA because, that drugs weren't mainly my problem. But if you wanted to go to very many meetings in that small town, a lot of us went to both NA and AA, and alcohol is a drug. So I went to NA also, and we had one group used to have a camp out a couple of times a year, which was great. And there were dances and other kinds of get-togethers that we had, and coffee after the meetings. And when I couldn't afford it, I could have water after the meetings. But the conversations and the meetings after the meetings were some of the best things I encountered. And I began to learn that I could have fun. Got me through that divorce, having to take my kids and leave because it wasn't safe. Got me through all kinds of things without drinking. Eventually, and helped me take a look at my own behavior. I could blame other people. Yeah, this is where I came from. This is what happened. Oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. And begin to open up and take a look at what's my own behavior. Sometimes the worst thing I had done was like say, okay, I'll go along with that, or to be willing to put up with it. I did make amends to people in my family. A lot of them weren't interested. They knew nothing about recovery, didn't want it, didn't understand, didn't care. One of them said, well, what you need to do now is go back and be the kind of person you should have always been and change this and change that and make this person behave and make that person behave and do this and make me happy. And they had a long list of stuff. And I said, I'm really grateful for the preparation I had before going into that, because the words that fell out of my mouth were, I can do this. I cannot do this. It's impossible for any human being to do this. And be willing to very quietly and respectfully set a couple of boundaries, which they were not happy with. Because those were the very things I'd been asked to do all my life that I couldn't do in the first place. And I realized that those were some of the things that had set me off in the first place. Because that misery that I had before I ever took a drink. My home life had, when I was younger, had been really, really good in a lot of ways. Good, hardworking people. I learned a lot of good things, but very quietly, there were some other things that weren't. And I was miserable in a lot of ways. And I didn't know why, because I was told constantly I had such a wonderful life. And I had absolutely no reason to be unhappy or upset or feel bad, and that it was all my fault. And as a kid, in some instances, that could very well have been true, throwing a fit because wanting what I wanted. But in a lot of ways, it was what set up some of my thinking that wasn't working for me anymore, because I was still miserable and I didn't know why. And in recovery, I began to find out. As far as the beliefs go and what other people said I had to believe or think or how I had to live, I began to find out that I don't have to listen to anybody else's. I don't have to believe what anybody else believes, regardless of what reasons they give for it. I don't have to go along with I don't know if it's a devout Christian or if it's a total atheist. If they say you have to see things my way, you have to see it like this because I'm the one that's right, that it's okay for me to still see things the way I see them, and I can what sits right with me and what doesn't, because I need to be comfortable in my own skin. I can't be comfortable in anybody else's. I can't, live in a way that just makes someone else comfortable and happy. I have to be able to look myself in the eyes in the mirror and be okay with that. And it took me a lot of wiggling room and a lot of time to finally get a lot of that. And I still bump into it sometimes. I'll get intimidated by something, or I'll go, oh, wow, I've been missing out on that because, and I need to see things differently without any good reason, and because that negative thinking can really take over in my mind. And I'll be, before I know it, I can be beating myself up, calling myself bad things and going, oh, it's just always been me. And as a matter of fact, when I went back out one time, it was when the rest of my family fell apart when my kids were about grown. There were some major difficulties, and I'd never been able to get into any kind of a good relationship with the rest of the family. And I don't even want to describe it all. But I found myself not connected with recovery because of having to work long hours, being a single mom, and two very rambunctious teenage kids, and a lot of other financial difficulties. And I wasn't very well connected, and those thoughts hit me. And I thought maybe all those people were right. Maybe that person was right. Maybe those people who said, well, you're not an alcoholic because you never drank as much as I did. Well, I drank a lot more than a lot of people did. All those naysayers, I guess you'd say, maybe they'd all been right and I couldn't even do this right. Maybe I didn't belong here. And eventually I picked up another drink and it wasn't any better out there. It was an illusion that it would make it better. Took me a little while to get back. But I learned something, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone to go back out. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, but I wouldn't trade what I learned for the world, because that's where a lot of those things, when I made it back, came back in and began to set right with me. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter, really doesn't matter what other people say or think. This is the most important thing. I found secular AA during the pandemic, and like I said, I was okay with traditional, but a lot of the meetings and the local ones here had gotten very pushy and gaudy, and I had some people earlier on say, if somebody's telling you this or that, or recommending, this religion or that religion, or a lot of these things that people were saying, that's not AA. That's, if you want what you get in a church, then go there. You're free to have any beliefs that you want outside of these rooms. But when you're in here, everyone's free to have whatever beliefs that they want and just park them at the door. And this is about AA. And, you can belong to political groups. You can work for any cause you want to. You can be a Republican or a Democrat or go join the Taliban. But inside these rooms, you're a member of AA. You're not anything else. And if somebody's saying otherwise, it's not AA. So, like I said, a lot of the meetings got really gaudy and really pushy, and saying you have to see things this way. It seemed to be a heck of a lot more than what it used to be. Anyway, at the invitation of someone whose opinion I value, I started attending some secular meetings and found Tasnua, and it was a major help to me during the lockdown and during all of that came through after that. So I really appreciate the people in Tasnua, because here, people have all kinds of views and opinions and can talk about what's really going on with them. And nobody starts screaming, that's an outside issue. You can't talk about that here. And we can talk about what's on our hearts. And I can see people's eyes light up. And I can see people find solutions. And I can see people develop good talking relationships with each other. And almost every time I attend, there's something that I hear that unties another one of those little knots in my heart. And I can do it all without drinking. Without drinking, I don't have to pick up that drink. It's very seldom that that thought crosses my mind anymore, and it usually makes me laugh. Like, oh, I'm never going to get to travel across Europe and eat all the food and drink all the wine. And then I laugh because whatever picture has come into my head about how wonderful that would be, that would not be what happened if I did it. It wouldn't be pleasant at all. And I probably wouldn't remember or enjoy any of that food or the people or the places. But I can enjoy things today. The next morning I wake up sober without a hangover, and I remember my day, and I remember all of you people, and thank you all for listening.